Welcome to the podcast version of Police Science Doctor, the online resource bridging the gap between research and investigative practice, for police personnel who go the extra mile, for academics who want to connect better with investigative practitioners, on YouTube and on policesciencedoctor.com. So the next one is by Dave Neeshaw. Dave Neeshaw trains practitioners in the mental health and addiction field. He is a trainer, coach, therapist, hypnotherapist, and the director of Better Minds. He works on helping people feel better and make better decisions every day. He will talk to us about how, as the first on scene, you as a police officer, for example, as the first responder to someone in crisis, and let's face it, many of the people you encounter as a police officer are in crisis, what you can do, how you can do your best until the person is referred to a specialist, perhaps, or until the crisis is over. So what can you do?
Hi, my name is Dave Neeshaw, and we're going to look at today how persuasion science can inform first responder interventions. And all being well, for years, those events will reduce the intensity, duration, and frequency of those incidents. And today we're going to have a look at some of the principles, a working example, and how to apply it into your role. Persuasion science affects and impacts every dialogue that we do. And where we can use it most is at the lowest intensity interventions because we've got more flexibility. So, I've used it and continue to use it with runaways, with addiction, public order offences. And what we're trying to do is just minimise the intensity of those interventions and also make it so that people get the help they need and we move them forwards. We're going to look at the principles of persuasion science. Going back to 1984, these originated with Robert Cialdini, who wrote a book called Influence, and gathered up what he thought was a core principles. And the first thing, to get people to do what you want, you've got to get them to like you. In modern parlance, we use the word rapport, building good rapport. And in order to build a good rapport, first of all, you need to compliment people. Pleased to see you, give them a smile, build a connection, find something you've got in common, the same name, you've both got dogs, you've both got a history of living in a particular area. And on top of which, match and mirror, move as they move, use at their pace, slow things down if they're too animated, and eventually use something called tactical empathy. And tactical empathy comes from the FBI and their core negotiations with hostage negotiations. And as you chat to somebody and report back to them what you've heard, report back so that they say, that's right. And at the point that they say, that's right, it indicates that they're now persuadable. They're now amenable to making changes. Reciprocity is the process of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And as part of that process, offer them a compliment, and we just feel the need to compliment back. Offer some practical help and advice. Something very simple. Maybe you want to do it like this. Maybe it'll be quicker if you do it like that. And once you've done that, you can ask for a return on that by saying, now help me to help you. And the final thing you can do in reciprocity is be vulnerable. If people are anxious, share with them that you've been anxious before. If they're frightened, if they're angry, say that actually we all get. And you know, these times when I got angry, and once you become vulnerable, it gives them permission to really, really calm down and invest in you. Equally, when people are very, very fraught and the situation is fraught, normalizing it, and in this context, we call it social proof. Saying actually, lots of people get in the position that you have. Lots of people struggle with things that you have. We'll bring things forwards and people become more persuadable. Consistency. What we say, what we feel, and what we think all gel together to a form of consistency. We like to be consistent with what we think, what we say, and what we feel. And as a consequence, we can use this. If we, as we compliment somebody at the beginning of this process to build a rapport, tell people that they are great people, they're intelligent people, that they're sensible, they're amenable. This process is called labelling. And now we can say, to do it with consistency, well, actually intelligent people would buy this solution, wouldn't they? And people will invest in you and move forwards. Another mechanism in terms of consistency is the Ben Franklin effect. A former president from the 1780s noticed that he couldn't get people to do what he wanted. So what he did instead was he asked them for a favor, a tiny, tiny gift. And this is quite counterintuitive. If you get somebody to do something for you, cognitively, they reason that I must like them because I've done something nice for them. And so in sales, people use it. So they will say, oh, can you just leave the door on the latch while I pop back to my car? And if I'm going to do that, I must trust them. If I help somebody, I must invest and like them. In the case of Ben Franklin, he asked somebody to lend him a book. And forevermore, that person became an ally rather than somebody who was hostile to him. And then the final consistency technique that I'll share with you is the foot in the door technique. If you can't get somebody to do the big thing, to calm down and stop and end a conflict situation, ask them to do a little thing. If people want access to the help that involves going to rehab, perhaps suggesting at least come with me to the building, I can show you around. And so if we want to get people off the streets, want people to manage their addictions, want people to stop running away, if we start using these tools, we'll find that they respond much more quickly. And then once people are ready, we can use the tool called scarcity, which is now you're in a great place. Let's action this now. Let's go to that appointment now. Let's get you that phone call now. Let's get the people who can support you in right now. Because you never know, tomorrow you might not be in the right place. And using these tools means that we can move people forwards. Now, in order to move people forwards, we need to stop that destructive behavior. And the first rule we use is stop, so that people actually stop making things worse. And also so they don't repeat that behavior and start applying themselves to a new, much more productive behavior. We can look at these two tools. In reality, we don't like loss more than we do like gain. So if we tell people what they're going to gain, it's useful, but it's nowhere near as powerful as if we tell them if you don't do it, what you're going to lose. So if people don't sort their stuff out, telling them that actually sort your stuff out, you'll get your kids back. Stop using substances and you know you'll have money in the bank. Better to tell them exactly the same data, but via a viewpoint of loss. So what we would say instead is, if you don't sort yourself out in a year from now, what would you have lost out on? You would have lost out on not seeing your kids. What wouldn't you have in the bank if you don't sort your stuff out? You wouldn't have that. The other form of loss is loss of autonomy. Loss of a sense of control. Incredibly powerful. And the way we would say it is just use choice. Just use choice. What would you prefer, sleep in your own room or sharing with a stranger? Eat what you like or being forced to have what's given to you on a plate? And just that loss of control plus loss of aversion makes people much more predisposed to stopping the behavior that you want to, so that you don't get that repeat and repeat and repeat incident. Equally, there are strategies to promote good behaviors, to make people move in the direction that you want. And it's the way that you deliver them. We know what's right for people. So before you tell them anything, ask for permission to tell them. Is it all right if? And it's an incredibly powerful block of information. If you've been lucky enough to train in MI, motivational interviewing, you'll find most of the tools that come from here are present in front of you right now. So seek permission. Is it all right if I tell you? Have you heard of? Again, use choice, but this time use choice which guides them in the direction they want. Would you like me to make a phone call now, or do you want me to do it in 10 minutes? Do you want to put that weapon down, or do you want me to take it from you? Use reason. This is a phenomenally banal but effective tool. You can get about 90% compliance just by use of the word use of reason. And because you are here right now, you're going to move forwards. Because we are here right now, we can sort this out, okay? And so use of reason, the word because, strangely magnifies the impact that you can have, even if the reason is ludicrous. And soften your commands. Instead of saying, I want you to do this, say, whilst I sort this out, you can sit down and stay calm. whilst you come over here, we can get this sorted. And then finally, when people are where you want to be, you want to access the support that's needed for them. Whenever you refer somebody on, compliment the service. They're amazing. They'll really look after you. Explain the value to the person rather than the value of the service. For you, they're going to be incredible. They're going to help you with X. Mention a story of when it's worked before. Again, that social proof we talked about. Encourage them to talk through the whole journey of attending. So what are you going to do when you've left here? How are you going to get there? And as they talk it through, they will create neural pathways and be more and more okay with the idea that they're doing it. And finally, ask them to explain and scale out of 100 how likely they are to attend. If they say how likely they are to attend, they're typically going to say a high number. And because of consistency, now they've said a very high number, it's 95% certain I'm going to attend after this session, Dave. At that point, they're much more likely to attend. The data says a third. If you use these tools and a combination of all these tools, you can double the outcomes. You can half the pain of the service. You can make it twice as likely that people get the access they need. When we look at something like running away, young people who run away, if they do it once, they're twice as likely to do it again than a typical member of the public. I worked with a person who ran away 21 out of 22 days prior to me working with him. Once I started working with him, he only ran away one more time. And yet in the last 22 days, he'd run away 21 of them. And that young person was in the looked after system. And it was a combination of all these tools. It's just getting the mix right. But it doesn't always mean that people want to listen to your persuasion, your advice. So some people will reject good advice. And we'll have a quick look at that. And then you use whatever tools are best for you. So people will reject A, because it's the wrong thing, or it's at the wrong time. If it's the wrong thing, you've not been listening. If it's the wrong time, just step back and build rapport again. However, the other things that you can do in terms of pushing people forwards, just keep repeating your message, use reinforcing questions. So why do I want you to go there? Because it's good for me. And use yes sets. Get them to say yes a lot and nod their head when they're saying the right thing. I hope you found this useful. It's a very quick journey through 140, 150 different persuasion tools. They're all out there. They're all accessible if you want to look them up. Equally, if you want to access any more information on this, come back to me. I'm Dave Neeshaw. Thank you for your time. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the work that's in front of you.
Okay, thank you, Dave Neeshaw, for this. I actually do have the book that he mentioned here, The Psychology of Influence. Robert Cialdini, I guess is the pronunciation. It's a very, very famous book. So my summary, my key learning points of this: minimize the intensity of situations, build rapport, reflect back what you've heard them say, so active listening, share that you've been in a similar situation yourself, normalize the situation, get them to do something small for you so they can feel they trust you, or so that something inside them says, well, I've done something small for them. You know, that must mean that I trust them. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done that. So he was given the example. Okay, so maybe you don't want to access these rehab services yet, but let's just go inside. I'll show you the building. You know, so you just get over that first hurdle. If you can't get someone to do a big thing, get them to do a little thing. More powerful to show what they're going to lose rather than what they could gain. So we are more afraid of losses. That motivates us more. You know, a potential loss motivates us a lot more than a potential gain. And ask permission before giving advice. Give them a choice. Use the word because. So there's some very strong research to say that if you say because, it will make the person more likely to comply. Get them to talk through the steps they will take after your conversation. So they start visualizing, okay, I'm going to go into that office. I'm going to go to the desk, introduce myself, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to wait for my counselor appointment and all of that. Get them to rate the likelihood of doing it. So get the commitment from them. You know, how likely you're going to do this, and get them to state what you want them, why you want them to do something. So why did I want you to attend this appointment? Because I need to speak about XYZ. Okay, so to view Dave's website, visit betterminds.org.uk. So put that onto your list of useful links for later.
Thank you for listening. I hope you found this content useful.
You can get access to each episode's transcript with key learning points, timestamps, and references if you get yourself onto my mailing list. Just go to the main website on policesciencedoctor.com, and on the bottom of each page you will find a sign-up form for notifications of new content. Just enter your first name, your preferred email address, and the type of organization you work for. You will not get any spam. This is just for me to let you know about new content and for you to get access to all the transcripts.